The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Okay, good morning, church. Very thankful and honored to be here to share the word of God with you. So just a bit of background from me. My name is Pastor Philip Chim. Been married for 9 years now, so yeah, one more year to the big milestone. And been pastoring at Springvale Vietnamese Evangelical Church for 7 years now. So even though that seems like a long time, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still developing as a pastor. It's great to be here, especially since we're so close by, and it's good to get to know the wider family of God. And very impressed to see lots of young people here as well. I mean, there's young people here in the church as well, because this is who the kingdom is for, isn't it? The Lord said, let the children come, let the young people come, because theirs is the kingdom as well. Very grateful to be here. So thank you, Pastor Glenn, for inviting me. Let's pray to the Lord as we, before we learn God's word. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your grace, Lord. We thank you for your provision of your word. It's the light for our path and the lamp for our feet. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, illuminates your word so that we can know you so much more clearly. We thank you and pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so please open up with me in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so how close would you like to get? Now imagine receiving God's invitation to come and meet with him face to face. How would you actually feel if you got that invitation? And would you be really excited? You'd be really, really happy, okay? Or would you actually be the opposite? You actually feel very nervous and scared to meet this awesome God. And so Moses got this call from God. You know, we see it right there in verse 1. Okay? "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel." Okay. They are to worship at a distance, but Moses, now he was the one who was to approach the Lord, you know, come very close to him. Okay. Very awesome, but I think in many ways, you know, it can be also very terrifying, you know, as well, isn't it? This is the great God who holds our life in his hands. And so God had spoken to Moses previously. He'd spoken to Moses in the burning bush. He had brought plagues in Egypt, parted the sea for the Israelites to cross through. So Moses wasn't new to hearing God's voice. And now he was speaking to Moses at Mount Sinai. And so now he wanted Moses to actually come and see him. Moses was being given greater and greater privileges to come close to God, to meet with God, and now to even see God. And so now this image here, it's got all these people coming up, and what people think is Mount Sinai. We're not really sure because, don't have the exact location. Been fully recorded as the exact place where it is. But these people are making a similar pilgrimage to what might Mount Sinai might have been. Okay, what might have been like to have been Moses and the 70 elders going up to meet with God. So we're going to look at three things that happen in this passage. Okay, so when you've got an important appointment, you know, do you get yourself ready? You know, you've got to iron your clothes and do your hair up as well, isn't it? You know, some of us have to put on the makeup as well, make ourselves more impressive. And so you've got to do all these things. And so meeting with God was also a very big deal. Moses needed to get himself ready. He wasn't just going to jump out of bed and go and meet with God. So what did Moses do? Well, we see here that Moses worshipped the Lord. Okay? We look at verse 4 onwards. Okay, we see that Moses got up early. And then what did he do? He built an altar to the Lord. Okay. He also had to set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men to prepare the offering. Okay, there was the burnt offering and the sacrifice of young bulls as the fellowship offerings. Okay, why did Moses need to do all these things? Well, this was to give honor to God. Yeah, this was a total dedication to God. That it was his expression of love to God, because God is so great and so worthy that we want to give him all the glory. And this was a special fellowship with God as well. Okay, this was a special meal that they were going to have together. And that's not all. We come to this next bit in verse 6. And there's the sprinkling of blood, okay? And so, for many of us, I think, when we see blood stained on our clothes or on our shirt, we sort of, get a bit icky about it, isn't it? It's not very pleasant. But blood is actually very special to God. And we can see in our passage here that there was a lot of blood that was dedicated to the Lord. Yeah? Verse 6, Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. And then the other half is going to be sprinkled on the people. Okay, so blood is very special to God. It was never to be eaten. Okay, whenever there were sacrifices and offerings, there were parts of the offering that were allowed to be eaten by the people, but blood was always forbidden. And why was that? Because life was in the blood. Okay, life was what you were supposed to offer to God, and so that was sacred. It was only meant for God to consume, to receive that blood. Okay, and so therefore, because life is in the blood, life is also payment for our sins, payment for our wrongs, and it redeems us from our sins. And so this is why Jesus' blood was so precious. Okay, Jesus' blood was the payment for our sins, but not just one person's sins, but for everyone's sins. It was that precious, that pure. Okay, Moses then used the other half of the blood to sprinkle it on the people. It's something that we would probably not find too pleasant. I mean, for me, if someone at church is going to be sprinkling blood down on me, I'd be sort of covering my face, hoping it doesn't get into my mouth and my eyes. But what was the point of all this? Because it seems strange, isn't it? Especially today when it's no longer being done. Well, verse 8 tells us why God needed to do this. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all of these words." Okay, so God was making a covenant, an agreement with the people. This was his promise that he would be with the people. He would protect the people as they followed him. God would send an angel to protect them. He would lead them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so this was a seal or a stamp that God was going to commit to these people as long as they committed to him, they followed him. It was also a mark. They belonged to God. Okay, it was his signature, his name upon their hearts. Okay, so there were quite a few things that Moses needed to prepare himself and the people before they could go and meet with God. And so that's also important for us, isn't it? When we come to meet with God, we need to be prepared. We can't just rock up unprepared. You know, we look at the parable of the wedding banquet. Okay, God prepares this very beautiful, awesome, lavish wedding banquet for his sons. And so you can imagine, you know, really big chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, you know, all of these nice fabric that's hanging from the ceiling, really warm lighting. And so this is a very big royal wedding. God is speaking with the wedding guests. But then in the corner of his eye, he noticed someone who doesn't look right. Someone sticks out because they haven't dressed up for this occasion. They have not put on the right clothes for this wedding. And so, yeah, you can imagine what that might be. Maybe they came in their dressing gown and their pajamas. Okay, they had not been prepared. And so for us, it is so important that we are ready for this banquet. We are ready to meet the groom. You know, we can't be coming to the Lord and not dressed right. Our hearts is not right with the Lord. We're still doing things that are for ourselves and not for the Lord, isn't it? And so we need to prepare our hearts. Stop ourselves from following the ways of sin, you know, following the ways of the world, following the ways of our flesh. Make sure that our heart is right with God. What is your heart clothed with? And we look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, and it tells us how we need to clothe our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, so yeah, we really want to meet with God. We want to be close to God. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be dressed in the right way. Okay, clothe yourselves: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Over all these things, put on love, which binds them all together, perfect unity. It's a wedding banquet parable. Okay. The next thing we see in our passage is the men see God. Just go back to Exodus. After all the preparations, the worship, and the dedication to God, it was time to come and meet with him. Moses had already met with God before, but for the 70 elders, this was their first time. And so this was going to be a very exciting time for them. And so how would you what would you be thinking of saying to God if you were going to meet God for the first time? What would you say to him? You know, would you say to him, now, how are you? How have things been going? Did you enjoy the cricket or the football last night? You might even be one of those more technical people, okay? You might ask him, how does the sun work? Okay, how is it so big and bright and hot? How is it that you created all of these, the world, the people, all the animals? How is it that women actually think? Okay, or how is it that men think as well? Because we're not all that straightforward either, okay? Let's be honest. There's all these things that we could think of, isn't it, when we coming to meet with God. Unfortunately for these 70 elders, they weren't going to be close enough to talk with God. We see in verse 9, okay? Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. And under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. Okay, so we go up, we skip to verse 13. Okay. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Okay, so it was only Moses who could actually meet God face to face. Meet him close enough to talk with him. But even though these 70 elders didn't get to go that close, they did get close enough to at least see his feet. Okay, so that is pretty awesome already. I mean, how excited would you be just to see a little glimpse of God, okay? Just a little tiny bit of God, maybe to see a bit of his feet, maybe just to even see a little bit of his toe, okay? That would be pretty awesome if we could just see a little glimpse of God. And so that's what they were able to see. And under God's feet was this pavement of sapphire. Now, who knows what color sapphire is? Anyone here know what color sapphire is? Yes? Comes in many colors, is it? Or is it black and blue? Okay. I actually had to Google it myself because I'm just hopeless when it comes to jewelry, I'm afraid. Okay, yes, they're blue. And if I was actually clever enough, I'd actually see in the Bible that it actually gives us a clue, okay? The pavement was as clear as the sky itself. And so, of course, the sky is blue, isn't it? And so that's what they were seeing. So these are actually what sapphires look like in the ground. They're a sort of dull blue color. But when they're actually cut and polished up, that's what they really look like. Okay, so God's pavement was as clear as the sky, and when we take these sapphires out of the ground, you know, they're nice and blue here, but they still have impurities in them, and so it's very rare that you're going to find one that is actually totally pure without any other grains of rock in it. If you're lucky enough, you will find one that is really clear. But the pavement that God stands on, you know, is as clear as the sky itself. It's just pure, 100% holiness, pure goodness from God. And we see that after these elders had seen the Lord through this pavement of sapphire, they did not run away. They did not need to run and hide. Why is that? Because God did not raise his hand against these leaders. Okay, they had prepared themselves. They had prepared their hearts, abstained from certain things that God dislikes, God is displeased with. Verse 11 tells us, they saw God, and then what did they do? They ate and they drank, isn't it? And that is a celebration, isn't it, when you eat and you drink? That is something that we always look forward to, isn't it, when we go to a party and we celebrate together. Yeah, they only saw his feet, but they were very excited to have seen this. And so they all went down the mountain and they ate and they drank. Now, I'm not quite sure what they drank. It was probably not Coke. Might have been Pepsi, okay? But anyway, they got to celebrate. And they were the only few out of the millions of Jews who were down at the base of the mountain that got to see a glimpse of God. And so you'll notice that they never got to see God's face, okay? Because if they did, they would die. Okay, God's face was too holy. But we know that today very few people ever get to see God, even just a glimpse of God, isn't it? In the New Testament, we only see that it was Paul and Stephen. Okay, Paul got a glimpse of God when he was taken by the Spirit into heaven. Stephen got a glimpse of God as he was about to be executed by the Pharisees. Jacob in the Old Testament got to see the throne of God. Today we have some people who've had a glimpse of God as they've died momentarily and then been brought back to life. So not every Christian will get to see God in this lifetime, but you know, we can still see glimpses of God in other ways. Okay, maybe not with our own eyes, but we'll see glimpses of God, you know, through his presence and his character. And when we immerse ourselves in God's word, we immerse ourselves in prayer with God, and that God is going to actually reveal himself to us as he did with these 70 elders. And so when you see just a glimpse of God, yeah, how is it going to feel? It's going to feel amazing, isn't it? You're going to really celebrate. You're going to tell people about it. And so Christian life is a life of celebration. And the more that we immerse ourselves with God, the more he is going to reveal himself to us. Okay, so after preparing themselves to meet with God and then celebrating seeing God, God called Moses up to receive the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone and many other instructions as well. Okay, so this is the glory of God. Okay, so going back to verse 13 and 14, then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, And Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute, can go to them. Okay, so Moses goes up to the mountain, and only Joshua is allowed to go up with him as his aide. Moses is at least 80 years old by now, and so of course he's going to need some help climbing up the mountain. When he went up, the glory of the Lord settled upon the mountain. For 6 days this cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. And to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Yeah. If there is a consuming fire on top of a mountain, what do you imagine is happening up there? What would you assume? Yeah, there's smoke covering the mountain, then there's fire coming out at it. It's actually quite scary. For me, it brings back images of maybe Lord of the Rings, okay, when they're going towards this mountain that's got this fire. And so, yeah, we're not told exactly what it is, but maybe you can imagine a big volcano up there, isn't it, with fire and lava going out of it, smoke billowing out. And so Moses is up there 40 days and 40 nights with God. I don't think he brought any food or drink with him, so you know, what was he going to eat, isn't it? He would have just been in the presence of God. And he wouldn't have needed all those the food and drink, because the Lord was going to take care of him. Now, God had many instructions to share with him. He needed Moses to build an ark for the people. Okay. There was the ark with the two angels on top, and this is where the Ten Commandments would be placed in. There were also many instructions on how the temple was to be built. There was going to be layers of fabric. There was going to be the pillars that would hold it up as well. People would need to embroider it in a certain way. There would be the cherubim that would need to be embroidered into the fabric as well. And we also have inside the temple or the tabernacle, the table, the lampstand for the bread offerings, the utensils that would be used for the offerings. And then there was also the altar for the offerings and for the incense as well. Okay, so very intricate and delicate instructions that God needed to pass on to Moses. There's also the priestly garments as well that Aaron and his sons would wear, made of woven material of gold, blue, and scarlet yarn. There was the shoulder piece with the names of the tribes of Israel, and there was a breast piece that would have the 12 names of the tribes of Israel. Okay, so lots of specific things that Moses was to tell the Israelites to do in preparing the temple for worship to him. And then there were all of these other laws that we find in the books of Moses. You know, laws of uncleanness, laws about sexual relations, also laws about disease and how we can prevent them from spreading further in the tribe. Also laws about what to do with compensation, you know, what needs to be done when things are damaged or something gets broken. And so, if you want to experience the glory of the Lord, then you're going to have to be ready for big responsibility as well. Okay? This is not for the faint-hearted. It is someone who's committed to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, willing to do whatever God leads them to. This was going to be for someone who needed to be humble before the Lord. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says that there was no one on the face of the earth who was as humble as Moses, okay, willing to give up everything and dedicate themselves just to God. Okay, so how many of us here are willing to give our all just like Moses? You know, the glory of God awaits you. Yeah. The presence of God will be close to you. In the Old Testament, you know, only Moses got to see everything about God except for his face. But what about in the New Testament? Do we have others who are able to see the glory of God? You might remember the transfiguration of Jesus. Okay? Jesus went up on the mountain, and he was not alone. He had some disciples with him. Peter, John, and James went up with Jesus to go and pray on this mountain. So let me read what happens in Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Okay, Luke 9, verse 29. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Okay. All right, so it was not just Moses who managed to get close to the glory of the Lord, but Peter, John, and James got close as well. They were experiencing the same glory that Moses did on Mount Sinai. And so it's interesting that only these three disciples got to experience the glory of Jesus, isn't it? You know, we sort of think, where were the other disciples? Weren't there 12 of them? What were they doing? Why weren't they with Jesus and Peter and John and James as well? Okay, and so you sort of have this idea that maybe they weren't as close to Jesus as maybe these three were, isn't it? You know, we hear of how Peter was always, you know, so enthusiastic to be with the Lord, isn't it? Always willing to be the one, the first one to give the answer when Jesus had a question for the disciples. We see John and James also being the ones who were always fighting, you know, to be, you know, Jesus' biggest disciples, isn't it? They were the ones who fought to be at his left and right in his kingdom. And so these guys were probably the most fervent ones, the most enthusiastic to be there with him. Okay, so how about us? How is it that we can be close to Jesus as well, even though his physical presence is not with us now? How can we be close with him? Well, we see that Peter, James, and John were able to experience the glory because they were with Jesus. They were always there with him. They were with him every day and every night in his presence, following him, listening to his teachings, even dining with him at his meals. And so that's what we need to do as well, isn't it? We need to always be right there with Jesus, following him day and night in his presence, listening to what he has to say, praying with him, speaking with him, and even dining with him, okay? Being there with what he has to share for us. And so let me ask you again, how close would you like to get to God? Are you just going to be one of those regular people who stays down at the base of the mountain, too scared to come and meet with God? Are you going to be one of those elders who have prepared themselves, but they only get to get a glimpse of God, not to really see a bigger picture of him? Or would you like to go all the way to the top of the mountain, experience the glory of God like Moses, Peter, and John, and James did? Let's pray, church. Dear Lord, the church here, my brothers and sisters are here because they want to meet you. They want to experience your glory. They want to be there at the top of the mountain, being able to not only get a glimpse of you, not only to be able to see you, but to hear your voice, hear you speak, be comforted by you, be fed by you. And even though they haven't brought any food or drink along, that they will be nourished by you, Lord. We pray that we will not be distracted by the things of this world. We will not be unprepared because, Lord, you know, this world likes to drag us away from you. You know, likes us to be clothed with the ways of this world. But, Lord, we pray that, you know, we will ever be consumed by you, that your love is what draws us to you, that we will not follow the ways of this world, but we will be clothed by you, by your love, your compassion. Lord, we pray that through our following of you, our listening to you, that we will be filled by your presence, filled by your words of comfort, and that you will truly reveal yourself to us, and we will be so excited that we cannot help tell others about it. Thank you, Lord, and pray this in your name, dear Jesus.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.